Welcome to The Unlabeling Effect, where three distinctive women daringly dive into some taboos with the intention to normalize the uncomfortable yet vital conversations. We're ready to embark on a journey of self-discovery with comrades like you. Let's commence on this week's episode on Are You a Social Alcoholic? People drink socially for a variety of reasons. Alcohol is perceived to be a social lubricant that improves mood, reduces self-consciousness, and enhances social skills. We talked about social anxiety disorder in an earlier episode, which is a mental health condition in which individuals experience heightened stress in social situations. They may fear doing or saying something that might embarrass themselves. In response, they turn to alcohol. A study published in Psychological Science supports this theory. Researchers noted that alcohol increased social bonding among strangers. The alcohol drinkers were more likely to engage with other people. So today, we're going to discuss our relationship with alcohol. I'm your host, Rita, and with me today are Melody and Vivian. Hi, girls.
Hi.
Hi.
To start off, tell me, when did you guys start drinking?
Ooh.
Like the first night out, like crazy drinking would be, I think 16 years old.
Right.
Coming from a family with five daughters, no boys, my parents always make sure we can handle alcohol. To be honest, I cannot remember exactly what age, but I started drinking at least just a little bit with my parents when I was only like 13, 14. Mm. That was like when I started having like a taste of alcohol. My parents wouldn't actually give me a full glass, but every so often I would go and give it a little sniff.
Oh. Your age that you really have your own drink?
16, when I started going out.
Yeah.
15, 16, we're all lawbreakers.
I mean, it's pretty common, to be honest. Look at kids these days when they're at, when they're in the age of 15, they look like they're like 19, you know?
Yeah.
So,
right. Yeah, I think we had quite a fair amount of drink when we were 16 together. Mm. Like, what was your pattern back then, though? Did you drink only during social settings or during party, or do you drink under other circumstances as well?
No, when I was a really young age, drinking was just for going out and having fun. Mm. It's almost like you had a false belief that you would associate alcohol with partying.
Yeah. Right. And also it loosens you up a bit. At least in my case, it loosens me a bit. That's why I could like dance without being self-conscious.
Yeah.
And you know, like people, if you join a party, they would be like, hey, you need to catch up. And then they just like bring you couple of shots, you know?
Right.
And for a very long time, it's a norm. It still is, I think.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And the purpose that for drinking when I was young, I would either not drink or I drink till I get drunk. So my sole purpose of drinking is to get drunk.
Mm.
So was it your purpose as well back then?
I would say I definitely went through a phase of drinking a little too much. Not like I would drink till I honestly pass out every time. But there was, I would say, quite a long period of time that I would drink, and I would always put myself in a situation where I felt not only tipsy, but almost like on the edge of passing out. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, I feel like my body or my mind unconsciously knew that it might not be the healthiest way, but I just didn't quite know how to control that or how to manage that for a very long time until very recently.
Yeah. Right now, especially when you get older, right? Your hangover is longer. And I just don't like that feeling anymore. It's like the next day you wake up like feeling so yucky and you don't have energy to do anything. And then you just wasted like a whole day. Mm. I guess that was also, now I see drinking as an enjoyment. It's something that you care about the taste, you care about the flavor and everything and who you share it with, or sometimes with yourself.
So there are four main types of drinker. The first one is social drinker. So basically you just drink during social event just to bond with people, just to pass time, basically. And the second one is drinking to conform because everyone has a drink in hand and you feel like you have to have one.
Third one is drinking for enhancement, basically to enhance your experience. For example, partying, you want to enhance your sensation and to loosen up and make the most out of your time during the party. And the fourth one is drinking to cope. So I feel like we're pretty much aligned that we were kind of drinking for enhancement and a social drinker when we were young. And when we start to grow up, we have more responsibility, we have more life tasks to take care of. So we don't really drink till we drop anymore. But then I do have a concern of my drinking pattern because I do drink more when I'm alone, I feel like. I drink at home and actually liking the idea of drinking alone more than with others in a party setting. I mean, that's interesting shift.
It's almost like a reward. I associate not alcohol, but it's like a nice glass of wine at the end of the day. As you know, like it's time to switch off that business mindset of yours and you can, you know, start to appreciate like the small things and, you know, just relax and chill. But there was a phase in my life when I started my own company. It was just like disaster every single day, crisis after another. And I drank so much that period. I think even my parents were concerned. You guys were concerned when I got hooked on whiskey. Like, oh my God, it was so bad. But then that drinking alone versus now drinking alone is so different. Back at those times, I was drinking just to escape from all those like negative self-doubt moments. But then now I drink with the intention to signal myself it's time to relax. But I would say both of them are not healthy.
Mm. And I think I have the exact same problem, but I'm more like leaning towards drinking to cope as well.
What were you trying to cope?
I feel like I don't know how to unwind and relax without alcohol. Mm. After a long day, you just don't know how to be very calm and relaxed. You just need some substance to kick that journey on. Mm. And I do find it pretty worrying because I haven't not had a drink for so long. Mm. And to remind myself of my consumption, I actually would not throw away empty bottles now, just to remind
myself.
Because it is, you know, it is worrying and I'm trying to work on it, but but I don't think I am full on working on it because I'm allowing myself to do that.
Mm.
You know what? I feel like drinking to cope, it's something that it's just so common. So say, as I mentioned earlier about my transformation, right? So from just getting a taste of alcohol at a really young age to drinking just purely socially. So being a social drinker. And then to, you know, sometimes at settings where you just feel like you would need to have a drink in hand, to actually enjoying the alcohol purely for your own joy. And then now I think with drinking for enhancement and drinking to cope, it's something that I do think it coexists within me. It's not like there's whether I'm just one type and not the other, because I feel like that character of mine or that type of mine kind of comes out at different scenarios. So drinking to cope usually would be when I feel a bit low or potentially that I just need like a short escape, right? As you said. But sometimes alcohol also stimulate you to think, because when you're slightly tipsy, it might put you in a slightly different headspace that you can think
totally
more creatively, you know, or with less, be a bit more carefree. So you can be more daring in your thoughts. But I think one thing that I've learned is last year, I believe, because of some health issue, I decided to stop drinking for 2 months straight. And to be honest, that was life-changing because my relationship with alcohol prior to that period of time was toxic. Like what Fifth said, you know, sometimes when you fall into a habit of just drinking every day, you feel uncomfortable not drinking one day. It's addictive, even just one or two glasses, you know, and then it might turn into 2.5 glasses. And then you get drunk, you get dehydrated. The next day you look puffy because you're dehydrated. And then like, sometimes you just won't feel as good, but yet you still allow yourself to fall back into that trap or that vicious cycle, right? And having that 2 months break was almost like a restart button of how I wanted to establish my relationship with alcohol. And I guess you two have both witnessed the transformation. I'm so much better now at pacing myself with a drink.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Like, you can have a drink next to you, but it doesn't mean that you have to keep on sipping on it or drinking it, right?
Mm. Yeah. Okay, I'm very intrigued now that during that 2 months of time, what was the most memorable moment that you think you want to have a drink but you didn't have, but then the enjoyment or reward are still the same?
Okay, so one example was I love going out. And there was like a couple of evenings where obviously when you go out, like your friends would be like, oh, just have one drink or two. And because of my health issue, that obviously had put me under pressure that I really shouldn't drink. And that kind of, you know, helped because that was a great excuse for myself, not for anyone else, but myself, of knowing it's just 2 months. After those 2 months, I can drink however much I want. You know, I can do whatever I want. It's just a fixed time frame, you know?
Those night outs, do you think you enjoyed less without alcohol? Or you know the outcome is just maybe the same or different?
Because you know what's life-changing was that I actually had a great evening without drinking. And wow. That was like eye-opening for me. I was like, wow. So I don't actually need to drink in order to have fun. Like I always, you know, it's so natural when you go out, you would have a drink or two. So it's almost like naturally you would have that alcohol in you or that kind of level of high. One thing that I realized was that you need good company. You need great friends. You need great energy. And then it will be the same. Like, obviously, it's nice to have one or two drinks, but you don't have to overdrink.
Yeah.
And no one is rushing you.
I think it comes to a point where, are you drinking for yourself or you're drinking for other people?
Mm.
I think when it comes to social drinker, you drink so you can loosen up so people will like you. Or you can build better bond with people because you were too uptight.
Yeah, I think that's my problem as well. Like during social event, when I meet new people in new workplace, I just want to open up a bit and bring that extrovert me out by drinking and just to, you know, mingle in a way that I wouldn't usually do. So I am still struggling with my relationship with alcohol, to be honest. I do think I associate alcohol to a lot of areas that could be very dangerous.
Can you describe that extroverted Rita to me?
I think I'm less conscious in how I speak. For example, I don't think too much in my grammar usage or how I structured my sentences and stuff. I just speak my mind in a foreign language, and alcohol helped me a lot in that. And also, I do feel like I'm more expressive and more bubbly in general when I have alcohol. And I just could initiate small talks, which I really bad at normally. I don't know, I could talk more in general. And I do think alcohol stimulate my thinking a lot, though. That's my association with alcohol. That's why even not in social setting, when I just drink alone in my room, I do my journal. I do my reflective journal because loads of my thoughts just come through.
I don't think it's an introvert-extrovert thing. I think it's you being comfortable enough to be yourself, actually.
You think?
Because when you hang out with us, I feel like those two sides of you, pre-drink and post-drink, they are quite similar to me.
Hmm.
I wouldn't say there's a big difference. I think it's the level of comfort that you have to establish. How do you create your own safe space, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And sometimes you're trying to drink your social anxiety away. That's simply put.
Mm. But also, have you witnessed the level of stimulations within yourself from having one drink to having too much to drink?
I think it has been over a year that I drank too much. I usually stop at the drink of number 3 or 4. That's max. After a long day, it would be like around 2 drinks. I just need that sweet spot of relaxing and also allowing myself to have some introspection time. And in social event, I just need to drink enough to feel a bit tipsy and have that confident boost.
That's very nice that you already have that mindful drinking mindset.
Yeah, but I don't want to need a substance to do it. I still feel the reliance and dependence, and I don't like it.
If you're aware of it now, then you're like already in a journey to work towards that. Yeah. It takes time.
It does take time. And I don't feel like I am fully ready to be completely determined to do it.
Well, a very dear friend of mine actually pointed out that I tend to overthink things. I'm not sure if it's my social science mindset or my upbringing, but sometimes when you think you want to achieve to that goal and you're not determined to do it, there's always a reason behind it. Like I might be overthinking. So if right now you are not determined, then maybe just start with like simple steps, like
having a smaller glass.
Yeah, I remember I met with the founder of Sip Free. So it's a non-alcoholic beverage brand that imitates, you know, cocktails like gin tonic, whiskey, and they have all non-alc version and they taste amazing. And I was just asking about, you know, like what's the story and then who are your major customers segment? And to my surprise, like a lot of his clientele are law firms and bankers. Oh. Like, yeah. And it totally changed my perception of drinking because when I talked to my other group of friends, they would be like, you always have to have a drink in hand because you work in these industry and you have to build network and so on. But I think for like certain group of people where they want to maximize their productivity or their efficiency, they're so mindful of, you know, like getting up at 5 a.m. and train and then go to work at 8, you know, eat right. And, you know, like just cut off all those toxins. And they have like monthly subscription programs now. So it's crazy how the whole drinking culture has shifted. I had a few encounters with people where I would want to, you know, like, let's grab a drink together because we vibe. And then they are so comfortable in saying, oh, no, I don't drink. It's so refreshing. And then I think for me, it's, you know, like I totally respect their decision. But if I were me and then with my current group of people that I hang out with, they would be like, what? You're not drinking, you know? It's just really eye-opening to see like the level of acceptance and their confidence in saying, no, I don't drink.
Having those people around actually reiterates the importance and the beauty of being able to stand your ground and just say no.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I kind of encourage people to do that more often, you know?
Yeah. And sometimes I feel like we act in a way where it's actually our own interpretation of what people expect us. They don't really expect that from us at all. Circle back to our previous episode on questioning. How often do you ask questions like, is it me or is it other people? And most of the time it's you.
Yeah. Drinking to cope is actually a worrying association because it could be a slippery slope and allow your mental health well-being to be dependent on alcohol. Do you girls remember when was the last time you felt really low and upset in general and you grab a drink? How did you feel after having a drink? Did you feel better? Was your mood reversed or it actually exacerbated it?
You know what? I don't think it was like a particularly low time, but it was a life-changing transformation. So I remember I was in London and it was the beginning of lockdown. And I think it was a situation where a lot of people just didn't know what to expect. But all you know is you need to find ways to entertain or keep yourself busy or try to still act in a way to try to make life as normal as it could be. So what I did was I ordered a lot of alcohol. When I was at home, like when it was the beginning of lockdown, I was drinking a bottle a day.
Oh, wow.
It was crazy. And then I think like at the beginning, it was like, oh, you know, lockdown is just going to be a short period of time. It's going to go by so quickly. Your body just couldn't
take it.
Cope with the alcohol, like one bottle of wine per day per person.
That's crazy. That's way, way over the recommended unit.
I think it's okay every so often. It's still quite a lot.
I thought the standard, it depends on your body size, your body mass.
It does, but then it's still a toxin that your body stops digesting any other stuff, but the alcohol first to get rid of it first. So you could imagine how much the substance is hurting your body.
Right.
Yeah. So that was kind of toxic for me. Took me a while to actually kind of slowly reduce the amount I drank. And yeah. But to be honest, I think it was also a reflection of some kind of crisis, like life crisis that I might have been going through internally, you know, that I had to rely on the alcohol and make it almost like a routine, maybe because I needed that to numb certain things.
I think it comes down to a point where it's like any stimulus. It can be alcohol, it can be your screen, you know, social media, and it's our inability to just sit there with our own thoughts and like be with yourself. We feel like we have to do something to keep us entertained. And sometimes I am so mindful. Sometimes I'm scrolling like social media and then I'm like, what am I doing? What am I looking at? Like, what am I trying to get out of this experience? And then I would just shut off the phone. And I think the same I need to do more as well is to apply to alcohol. It's like, why am I drinking? Because recently work has been very frustrating. And I find myself, you know, like at 4 or 5, I would like go grab a bottle of beer. It felt good drinking it. But then after I finished that bottle, you know, your mind started to get foggy and you can't really think straight. And then you have this plan that, oh, I'm going to meditate and then I'm going to, you know, like relax and do some stretches. And that just, you know, like off the table when you have this like foggy mind and then you make bad decisions, you eat bad, you order takeaway, and then you just watch, you know, toxic stuff or non-value added stuff online, and it just goes down slope. It's the act. When the thought comes up, of course it's going to come up because you've been doing for so long. How do I make that decision not go to the fridge and grab that bottle of beer? You know, like how do you make sure that you can do that? That's really hard.
For me, I set wine clock. Before 9:30 p.m., I'm not drinking. And drinking has to be the last item on my list. I have to complete everything before getting there. So that's why how rewarding it is. Could you imagine how rewarding that glass of wine and how it associates it with relaxing? It's very scary, I would say. Yeah. I want to respond to what Vivian just mentioned, that you think we couldn't sit with our thought. That's why we constantly have to grab something to do. And it might be a drink. But for me, it's different. I grab a drink just to feel myself more. And, you know, sometimes I suppress my emotions and society asks us not to cry, especially women. You want to man up to be compatible with men. And so I try not to cry all the time. And after a drink, I would let it out. I would feel that I feel so stressed. I feel rejected. I failed myself today. And I could let it out and restart tomorrow because of that good cry that I allow myself to do because I consumed alcohol.
I do think it is like an avoidance issue, you know. So many people do that to numb things or avoid things. For example, your behavior of delaying emotions is because you didn't want to face the reality at that moment.
Yeah. But then the alcohol tried to reverse that because I actually rip off the band that I put on during work or throughout the day.
I don't think it only happens to you a lot. A lot of people only show their deep, deep emotions after drinks as well. I remember I used to be one when I was, you know, 17 years old. But now, you know, one time I felt so overwhelmed at work and I was working from home at that time. I don't need alcohol to release anymore. And I don't exactly know how I did that. But I think when you show love to yourself that it's okay to feel those emotions, I'm trying to relate your example of, you know, drinking your social anxiety away. You rely on alcohol to show your authentic self to yourself.
And basically, I think it's just to unwind. It's just to unload, basically, because of the packed schedule and you're always on the go during daytime. You just don't have time to feel. And at night with that drink, you just put your guard down, let your hair down, and you just feel.
What's the obstacle if you are already like alone in the most comfortable place, like your apartment, and your day is done? What's stopping you to show that authentic self or to release emotions?
I don't know. Without alcohol, when I'm alone, I'm the most disciplined self. When I have full control of my schedule and everything, I live like a military soldier. And without alcohol, I would be like, is this adding value to my life? If not, I'm not doing it. But with alcohol, I truly embrace the time of not doing thing and just relax.
What are you trying to achieve living that military routine?
I don't know. It's just I feel good to be very disciplined.
I think it's having structure, sense of safety.
To rely on, yeah. Mm-hmm. I really appreciate our conversations today because all we have been doing is to get to the bottom of it, to understand why are we grabbing that glass of wine or a drink. It's very important to understand the reason behind your drinking and not to be just merely to conform or to cope with something that you don't even understand. So I'm not here to promote like don't drink at all, but just try to find the root cause of it and try to establish some mechanisms that allow you to have a healthier relationship with alcohol. Thank you for tuning in, and let's continue the conversation on Instagram at Unlabeling Effect. Please subscribe to our podcast on Spotify and iTunes and give us a rating. Until then, dare to feel, dare to be real.